We always get in a flow with Lincoln Kennedy, who, let's be honest, if Lincoln Kennedy is not in a good mood today, and he's generally in a good mood, then there's something wrong with Lincoln Kennedy, because damn, did he have a fine, fine weekend. Joining us as he does every week, there you are, Lincoln.
Hello.
Brought to you by Jiffy Lube, JiffyLubeCA.com. Valuable coupons, online serving Sacramento for over 30 years. Check them out again at JiffyLubeCA.com. Hello, Lincoln, and what a weekend it was for you.
Yes, it was. Good morning to you all. I'm happy to be with you.
Yeah, it was, let's see, let's start out on Friday. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, despite the fact that you were on the sideline, but the Washington Huskies took on the Stanford Trees on Friday up in Washington, and it looks like the result went your way.
Yeah, you know what? I heard some things about it. I didn't really get attention. I was just out there enjoying the weather in Seattle that day, but yeah, I heard that happened. I was, you know, in all seriousness, particularly pleased the way that the Dogs played. I didn't see that coming. Stanford looked a little banged up to me. Well, a lot banged up. Didn't seem like the same Stanford that we've come to know and appreciate over the past couple of years. But very thoroughly impressed by the Dogs' victory on Friday night.
Well, they did such a phenomenal job bottling up Christian McCaffrey. I knew that they had some playmakers on offense, and I knew there were some studs on defense. But I didn't know that that defensive line was just going to be able to work the trenches like that all night.
You know, what's interesting about that defensive line is it's basically a number of what we deem in the industry as defensive tackles. And these big guys from Elijah Coles and Gaines and those guys, they can really push the pocket. You have a number of defensive tackles that take up the line of scrimmage that are what we call block eaters, prevent offensive line or other people to get up to the linebackers. And then you have, you know, Azeem Victor and those guys, the linebacking corps, speedy, running sideline to sideline. So it's a good chemistry for a defense that's played very well so far.
Well, it kind of reminded me too, Lincoln, of the way that teams used to defend Reggie Bush, where I remember at one point just saying, you have to treat every play like it's a kickoff or a punt and stay in your lanes and just wait for contain. And they just did a great job of that.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, what I noticed is they assigned Buda Baker to follow Christian McCaffrey wherever he went. So he was like a spy on him. And then, of course, everybody corralled. But going into the game, I told all the people, you know, all the Husky fans and everybody I talked to in interviews up to it, I said, if they have a plan for number five, they have a chance. And obviously they had a plan and it worked to their, you know, worked to their advantage. And more importantly, just the number of points they scored on Stanford's defense, they totally controlled that first half. Dropped a little bit down in the second half, but still, when Stanford showed any signs of life, they quickly came back and kept the foot on the throttle.
So here's the thing, Lincoln, last thing on college football, the real interesting question for you guys, and you never know where rankings are going to go, but let's be honest, Washington doesn't play anybody really the rest of the year. They might have the Pac-12 game, but you've got you got at least an AP top 25. Four teams get in, as you know. You've got four teams ahead of you. So Michigan and Ohio State are going to play each other. That leaves Alabama and Clemson, assuming they win out. I feel like, and we got a long way to go, but there's going to be something to be said between you guys and Houston. That's going to end up being an argument as we continue the rest of the year.
Very true. I mean, very, very true words. What I came into this game, I was a little conflicted because as a Pac-12 analyst, I knew Stanford really gave us the best chance to have someone from the Pac-12 participate in the BCS playoff. Now, we're Washington final, and you're absolutely right with their record and the way, and of course, the way the polls reacted to them when they barely beat Arizona, how they dropped back a little bit, always comes into view. I'm concerned about it because I still don't think that Washington is going to go through the conference unscathed. I don't know who they're going to lose to, but I think the quality of competition in the Pac-12 conference, the nine game roundabout, you know, around the thing that the teams have to play, I think Washington might drop a game. I still I do that. I hold that wholeheartedly. So I don't know if they'll actually have representation in the BCS playoff game because of it.
Lincoln Kennedy joining us this morning on KHDK. Now, Lincoln, we're going to transition to some NFL action here. And obviously, the Raiders go in on the road, get a win over an undefeated Ravens team. And it was a great game and what they were able to do specifically in the fourth quarter. But I want you to answer a true or false question for me, because we were talking about this last week. Is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback in the NFL? Because he was part of this. There was, five teams that going into the week were undefeated, and they were one of them, but no one was talking about him.
Is he an elite quarterback? I believe he's an elite quarterback. I believe he's one of the better ones. So true, yes.
Yeah, and a why? You got to –
well, I mean,
what makes him elite to you?
You look at his past resume. Look at what he's done. He's got a – usually he's got a very good long ball and an accurate arm. I think what has affected him – now, I mean, we're also going off of past records. We're not just going off of what he did this year, what he's accomplished. But now when you watch – I mean, you watch yesterday – the pressure got to him both physically and mentally. His inability to move around the pocket causes him to look now more down at the rush than downfield and throw and try to attempt to throw passes on an uneven base. So that didn't necessarily work to his advantage, if you know what I mean.
Lincoln, I'm kind of curious, you know, when you look at, I feel like the defenses still treat Amari Cooper as though he's the number one receiver, but Michael Crabtree very clearly has emerged as, to me anyway, Derek Carr's go-to guy. Is that the case? Like, is Michael Crabtree the number one, and have defenses started to react to that yet?
No, they still view Amari Cooper as number one. And if you're an offense, that's exactly what you want. You want that dual threat. You want that ability to keep defenses off on their toes. Look, the fact is that when Amari is out there, you've got teams that are generally either going to try to double him or play him physically to take him out. So you've got to have somebody stand up, someone else stand up. Because they haven't really established a tight end, there's a weakness there. Seth Roberts and Michael Crabtree came through huge yesterday, mainly because of catches and, of course, the touchdowns. But, you know, this is something that the Raiders knew they had. It's not often exploited, but it's there when you need to. And it's funny how Derek Carr looks to Crabtree when he absolutely needs it to get it done. It's a chemistry that a lot of people don't talk about, but they soon will after this game.
Lincoln, we asked a question earlier. It was a two-parter. Number one, are the Raiders for real? And I think we all agree, yes, they're for real. Secondly, with games against the Saints, Falcons, Titans, and Ravens, and you can only play the schedule, three of those on the East Coast and New Orleans, of course. Is it possible the Raiders, should Raider fans pull back a little bit? I know they should get excited, but have we really seen the Raiders have a true test yet?
No. No, the true test came in the fact that, you know, historically, well, at least for the last decade, it's changed. This team has struggled when they've gone the East Coast, they've gone on the road. They seem to overcome that. Now, if you consider what the Falcons have done, not only since we've played them, look at their record, look how many points they're scoring. Now it makes the Raiders look that much better because the Raiders only lost that game by 7, even though they gave up a ton of the yards. The defense has played better. And of course, going back 2 weeks in a row, East Coast games coming away with both wins shows you that the Raiders, they're for real, they're legit.
Our guy Lincoln Kennedy joining us this morning, as he does every Monday morning here on KHTK. Now, Lincoln, we've got a month of the season in the books for the Raiders. What for you is the most surprising aspect of this team, and what is the most troublesome at this point?
I would say the most troublesome, other than the obvious, because I think the defense has gotten better over the last couple of weeks, the injuries is the most troublesome because the injuries, especially to the tight end core and what we've seen in the linebacker core, I think are going to hurt the Raiders, especially when they play somebody good. You know, as far as the most surprising thing, I mean, I think I came looking into the season when I started. I think I came into this month after month of football saying that we were going to be probably 2-2, not really knowing what product we were going to see in the field. But I'm thoroughly pleased with the progress of Derek Carr, his calmness, especially in the second half. Now, we may mention on our telecast that that in the early parts of the game he's a little overly amped, a little too anxious. And he needs to calm down. He's quick to get rid of the ball, but much to his favor, as the game progresses on, that sort of anxiety kind of dies down, and he plays a lot better. So, really, thoroughly pleased with his leadership and his ability, what he's shown over this past month of football.
Lincoln Kennedy with us on KHDK. Lincoln, at 3-1, I mean, there are obviously a lot of positives. Winning's the great deodorant, you know all that stuff. But if you were to fill in the blank of the sentence, the Raiders are 3-1 in spite of the fact that, what would that thing be?
Their defense gave up almost 500 yards a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lincoln, speaking of that defense has been helped quite a bit. It's been nice to see Carl Joseph on the field the last couple of weeks. I think he's held his own. You've gotten contributions from both Jihad Ward and DeAndre Washington. You know, we forget about it because we're in the season, but how great is Reggie McKenzie and how great has he been at really being the architect of this team, and now you're seeing it play out on the field?
It was just a few years ago when I first got the gig with the Raiders Radio Network. Dennis Allen was the head coach. People were calling for Reggie's job because the Raiders just had not turned the corner. And where I knew when I got the gig that Dennis Allen wasn't going to be the man for very long. I thought Reggie was doing an all right job dealing with his philosophy and understanding, knowing Reggie personally, knowing that he doesn't want to overpay for guys or wasn't going to just go get guys because they had the money, they had the ability. He'd much rather take a fine. I believed in that ideology. I believed in that philosophy. So I thought that Reggie was going to do a good job, but it hadn't panned out. I mean, it had DJ Hayden on, and that hadn't turned over or came to fruition how good he was going to be. He finally had one of his best games that I can remember yesterday, just in his tackling ability and being in the right place at the right time. Now, he made a couple critical mistakes, but it wasn't nothing that overly cost him. And so I thought DJ had a great game. You look at the draft choices that Reggie McKenzie and his staff have picked, you look how they've contributed to this team. Now you've got a solid foundation for years to come. And that's something that the Raiders hadn't had for a while. So that's why you have to take advantage of this window, because in 2-3 years, you're not going to be able to keep everybody together. Somebody's going to go. They drafted that well, and they've got some good players, and it's proved. It's proved big for the team right now.
Week 5 for the Raiders, Lincoln, puts them up against a very high-powered offensive team in the Chargers. They're averaging 30 points a game. The Raiders, obviously, very high-powered offense, too, at 27. However, their only loss this season came to Atlanta, who is the top offense right now in the NFL. How concerned should you be about Week 5 playing the Chargers with the Raiders' defense as it is now?
Oh, it's Phillip Rivers. You're always concerned. There's no doubt about it. What's interesting is the fact that they lose two of their offensive stars, and the Chargers are still able to put up a number of points. They got into an all-out shootout yesterday with New Orleans, and I expect the same thing to happen this Sunday when they come here to play the Raiders.
Yeah, I swear, Lincoln, the Chargers seem like they lose that way every week, where somehow or another, I mean, doesn't it, like, Phillip Rivers limps his way to the second-to-last score, and then their defense falls apart?
Yeah. I mean, that's generally how it is. I mean, Phillip Rivers has put up some, you know, tremendous numbers. We had the conversation on the road yesterday with some of my coworkers that look at Drew Brees' number, not just jump off the top, but look at Drew Brees' number coming into yesterday's game. He had, I believe, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception, over 1,000 yards. If the Saints had a winning record, they would be talking about Drew Brees for MVP. The same thing could be said about Phillip Rivers, especially what he did last year. If they had a winning record, you would talk about MVP. I don't know what to make of, you know, the ability of a team that is as dangerous offensively as that. I kind of equate it to the college football field as somebody like Wazoo or Cal, where they might as well concede giving up a plethora of points on defense just as long as they can outscore you. And if you like offensive football, then you'll enjoy a San Diego Charger or a Cal football game.
I don't want to get too crazy on the Raiders defense. They gave up 27 points last night. However, it seems over the last couple of weeks, it has been a different defense. It has been a more active defense. You're seeing guys like Reggie Nelson and Sean Smith, and obviously Khalil Mack yesterday getting loose. David Amerson, despite the fact that Steve Smith made him wear a carpet yesterday when he tried to tackle him. It's been a more active defense. Lincoln, is that more matchups, or is that more something clicked in the locker room?
No, that's scheme. Yeah. They called it more active. They blitzed a lot more in these last two games than they've done because they had to apply pressure on the quarterback. More importantly, they've moved Khalil Mack and Irvin around to where you could try to utilize their speed a little bit more and their power and run more effective games. But I tell you what, somebody's not getting some credit who should is Danico Autry. Danico Autry has played extremely well at that 5 position, that 3 position, at defensive tackle. And he has come on to really aid this front. I said a few weeks ago that whoever has one-on-one matchups has got to win that one-on-one matchups. And I saw Danico Autry win a number of one-on-one matchups yesterday in the game, and he's proved big for this defense.
Lincoln, I'm kind of curious, schematically speaking, you mentioned that the Raiders blitzed a lot more this week. I'm curious, what is their bread and butter as far as the scheme? What do they like to do to teams offensively?
What they would like to offensively or defensively?
The opposing offense. What do they want to force them into?
Ideally, they would like to only rush four and be able to play seven and man combination scheme, coverage schemes on the backside. Ideally, they would, but that was in the first two games. They didn't get any pressure, so they had to ramp it up. Now that they've blitzed, they're forcing offenses to do one-on-one matchups against their notable guys like Khalil Mack and stuff like that, or you have even less guys going out to possibly receive the pass. So. Their sort of philosophy has changed because the first wave that they did it in the first couple of weeks wasn't getting it done.
And I'd imagine, too, that plays into the strengths more of a guy like Sean Smith when you can get that pressure right away and have him in man coverage and have him just kind of lock down like a 10-yard box as opposed to trying to keep up with Brandon Cooks.
Well, that's exactly right. But important, what's even more important for Sean Smith is that when you be that aggressive, you've got to get your hand on the receiver and disrupt the route. You cannot allow him to have a clean release, or you're chasing him. And we don't have the safety speed out there to go sideline to sideline as many people think. So when you're playing that sort of press style of defense like the Richard Shermans and other aggressive corners do, you got to make sure you get your hand on and disrupt the timing of their route.
Lincoln, I'm sure you could have had a better weekend, but that's a little tough. Raiders in Baltimore, your Dogs win at home against Stanford, just annihilate them. You got to, go play the lotto or something today.
I wish it were that simple. I'm honest with you. I do think it's been far few between that I've been this happy at the end of a weekend. But it is a good feeling. It's a rewarding feeling.
Appreciate your time. Obviously, you'll be on with Grant later in the week on The Nation. We'll talk to you next Monday. Always appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Be well.
All right. Take care. That is Lincoln Kennedy.